if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, Chill Show Tonight. What are you doing, people of the regular chat? We'll be reviewing some of the news. Things don't change. Ben Shapiro, still rooting, still pushing for war. And it's like, we've exposed you guys. We've exposed you so hard. It's pathetic to see them continue doing the neocon in disguise type of stuff. It's like, all the way, Ben Shapiro is begging Donald Trump, we need a multi-week airstrike on Iran. Why multi-week? It's like you want the suffering to last. You want the instability to last. You're not going to be happy with a little strike. You want a big strike. And Ben Shapiro, very funnily, says, you know, it could, if Iran expands its nuclear program, it could threaten our allies in the region. Oh, Ben, we know what country you're talking about. You don't even need to name it anymore. That's what we've done. We made it so that everyone knows exactly which ally you're talking about. And it's pathetic to see you feel the need.
Much love, JF.
Well, Nate Dog Revolution, thank you so much for the big donation. Very appreciated. We have made it so that everyone knows you're talking about Israel. And it's all you care about. It's not even worth saying our allies anymore. We know what you're talking about, Ben. We know what's your plan. President Trump yesterday in the State of the Union address honors the life of Irina Zarutska.
Last summer, 23-year-old Irina was riding home on the train when a deranged monster who had been arrested over a dozen times and was released through no cash bail, stood up and viciously slashed a knife through her neck and body. No one will ever forget. There were people on that train. No one will ever forget the expression of terror on Irina's face as she looked up at her attacker in the last seconds of her life. She died instantly. She had escaped a brutal war only to be slain by a hardened criminal. Set free to kill in America, came in through open borders. Mrs. Zaretska, tonight I promise you we will ensure justice for your magnificent daughter, Irina.
Is it Erica Kirk or is it what, a sister of Irina? She kind of looks like maybe Erica Kirk, but what would she be doing there? All right. Marby Dog says Irina's life is worth. Okay. All right. We know what you're doing, Ben. North Carolina mom of three who vanished 24 years ago found alive, living a new life. Women keep doing this all the time. And you got stupid people in society who don't understand this, and they go after the men that they left behind. and they accuse them, they accuse me of murder because they can't conceive of the workings of the female brain. What does the female brain does? They hide, they immolate themselves, or they continue a whole new life in parallel, hidden from the system, and they let their ex be treated as a criminal until found again. We now have evidence that gentle parenting doesn't work. Here's an uncomfortable truth about parenting no one wants to say out loud. The data is not kind to gentle parenting. According to teenagers, strict curfews, strict bedtimes, screen limits, device drop off times, dedicated homework blocks, and sleepover restrictions improve higher relationship quality. And yes, parenting difficulty goes up. Of course it does. Leadership is harder than appeasement. For the past decade, we have been sold a watered-down, Instagram-friendly version of gentle parenting that often collapses into boundary avoidance, endless negotiation, and emotional processing without enforcement. Parents terrified of saying no because they do not want to rupture connection. But connection without authority is not connection, it is dependency. When parents impose structure, the relationship improves. Yeah, I would generally agree with this. I wouldn't say I'm a harsh parent. I guess I'm maybe middle ground. I'm probably too much of a liberal, like libertarian, free-thinking guy to be truly authoritarian with my kids. And I have probably too much of a conception that sometimes you can be wrong. I have too much humbleness to be a dedicated authoritarian. That being said, on the other side of the authoritarian excess, there are parents who are just too, they're too soft. And I wouldn't say I'm soft, but I wouldn't say I'm hard either. There are parents who are letting too much stuff go and not saying no and trying to overprotect the children with non-confrontation. Whereas there are times where you just have to say no in terms of buying stuff, and you have to educate them to not always get what they want. Fishman says, YouTube chat is broken. Everything is censored. Well, you're using bizarre letters. So maybe you're getting detected as a spammer. Just use regular speech, and I think you're not going to get any issues. In any case, I see what you're typing. Milton, Ontario, Muaz Sarfraz has been arrested for sexually assaulting two children with autism during therapy sessions. Muaz was working as an applied behavior analyst with children at the time, and police believe there may be more victims. Oh yeah, this whole professional network. Well, there's something weird because you guys are telling me chat is not working for me either. But I see what you're saying. So somehow it's working. Now, maybe it's because there's a low audience, so you don't see much people chatting. But I can assure you that I see the chat working. So I'm getting your messages. Kurt Doolittle, thoughts. Dying a little inside. I follow the intersexual conflict just like I follow ideological, institutional, and political and international conflict. Fundamentally, my work in disability is a subconscious desire to end ignorance, error, delusion, bias, deceit, and fraud so that we can cooperate on truthful, reciprocal terms. But I don't like conflict, especially dishonest conflict. I'm only good at it because I hate it, and that's the only way to overcome it. I was just listening to a chat. My takeaway was that something died inside with every tragedy I experienced. divorce, illness, the immorality of the financial sector, the injustices done to my people by activism's utopian abuse of the empirical common law, my own government coming after me when it was to blame, and my government coming after me more so when I sought to correct it, what Shakespeare meant with, for who would bear the proud man's contumely insult, the pangs of despised love, divorce, the law's delay, courts, the insolence of office, government, the spurns that patient merit, tolerance, of the unworthy, immoral takes. Who would these fardels, bundles of burdens, bear? All true. He closes with conscience. Conscience does make cowards of us all. But this isn't quite true. For some of us, we may die a little inside with every injustice and hurt. But some of us are not whittled away to resignation, but spurred further to reverse the injustices at any effort, at any cost. If maturity consists in our love of nature, life, and mankind, in our optimism and tolerance dying a bit at a time, then perhaps we have set about producing the wrong conditions for maturity. I have learned perhaps too much in my life and spent the past years seeking solutions to the mounting crisis, but I'm no different from others who, in similar phases of their civilizations, have sought to capture practice wisdom, lost in an attempt to restore it, only to have it help the next iteration of civilization. The lesson of this century is one I have no promise of correction nor hope of retention. The female intuition is as destructive to the polity when unleashed as the male is destructive to the society when unleashed. Male violence has no place in the family and society, and female irresponsibility and sedition no place in economics and politics. I prefer my woman on a pedestal, but they have destroyed the illusion men have used to sculpt it, and I do not see a positive solution other than open recognition and embodiment in law. A little bit more dying inside. That is a very moving, and I feel the same as Kurt Doolittle's. I feel exactly the same. First, I feel the same in that facing these dishonest women in your life will absolutely just put a dark spot on your heart. Because you can be an idealist functionally as a man in a relatively healthy world, in a healthy enough world. And I feel that me and Kurt Doolittle, we probably both were born strong idealists, strong autistic idealists with conceptions of principles. But when you start interfacing with the real world, it's like it's the jungle out there. It's really worse than the jungle. It's like a sewer of insanity, this world. And it will break you inside. And you'll never recover. You'll just die at some point. You'll never quite recover from seeing evil straight in the face. And evil is everywhere. Everywhere. Incorrectness, fraud, deception. It is the default mode of functioning for the human. And it does break you inside in a way that's not fixable. Now, for those who are using these special letters, Fishman, I'm going to be banning you if you keep using these special letters in the chat because it looks spammy and like engage normally and YouTube is not going to annoy you. But if you keep engaging with this, I'm going to be the one banning you because you're annoying with your ASCII anti-spam device or whatever. You're breaking the natural rhythm of an English conversation. So warning from here on out, if I see those red letters in the chat, you're going to get banned. You're going to get banned. Yeah, Kurt Doolittle is right about the description of the broken heart of the idealist. I have absolutely felt this many times in my life. And there is no, for the truly autistic idealist, what will happen with other types of personality, they will change. They will kind of accept getting dirtied by the system. But probably for people like me and Kurt Doolittle, it's not happening. And it's like, no, you pursue and resolve, but like you feel like you've lost a leg. You feel that you've lost a part of your body as you face the ongoing deception of the world and the ongoing impurity of the world. So you live like the soldier with an injury. You know, you can keep going. Maybe I can throw one last grenade. That's how you keep living after this. And then another reason that he highlights at the end of his writing, it's the problem is when you see this amount of lies and fraud as there exists in the world, you end up having to abandon a little bit of your own ideas. And this is the extent to which you accept to dirty yourself. It's the recognition that, wow, all these people are fucking monkeys. And we're going to need to put them in some cages. We're going to make the cages as large as we can, okay? But we have to put you in a cages because you're going to keep biting people around you. And therefore, libertarianism, in a pure sense, doesn't exist. It doesn't work. This is the big... And that's a further heartbreak for the idealist. It's like, wow. We cannot let the liberty of woman to break contracts all the time. We can... Because society will kneel to them. And it will... treat them as not the breakers of contract that they are. And therefore, to enforce contracts, we need to restrict their liberty. It's as simple as this. And we restrict those liberties, or liberties don't exist anyway. And there should not be liberty to break a contract. There should not be. Sean B says, Papa, ton chat ne nous laisse pas publier en anglais, je ne sais pas pourquoi. Stop with these lies, okay? I'm going to ban you, Sean B. I'm going to ban you if you keep trolling, because there's people who are chatting in English. Ava Cigar says, IDs are just lies. So definitely people are being let lies, okay? I'm to speak in English. let me type something in English. I am JF and I speak English. See, it's so you guys are trying to troll me or something. Ça juste marche pas quand je chat en français. See, there's other people chatting in English, so. Maybe you have a local bug on your browser, but it doesn't seem to me like YouTube would be keeping you from speaking in English. Ben Shapiro urges Trump to strike Iran. Yes, Marby Dog, I see this. So you see, you can chat in English. What the fuck is wrong tonight? You guys have reverted to boomerism. You guys are dropping some tactical boomerism onto me. Like, you can't use the chat?
There are really several issues that are on the table with regard to what the Iranian regime...
Now, this is beautiful to me because it's so pathetic. And we can see through it. It's like Ben is the representative of Israeli interest. It's how he makes his money. He's been found out. He's been called out. He's been ridiculed. The whole industry of warmongering for Israel has been abolished recently. it still exists. I mean, there are still flows of money that are trying to reestablish it. But it got called out and just dragged into mud so hard that it's now a normie talking point. And it's a normie talking point. Now people are saying, no, Jeff, we can't speak English. Like, I would be very surprised, guy, that suddenly YouTube would have decided to make my chat French only. I would be very surprised. Now I can check quickly the settings, languages. Okay, everything is two languages. It's like, well, okay, channel, country of residence, Canada, advanced setting, not for children, automatic dubbing, community moderation, comments on moderation, basic. Not all chats are getting through. 90% of mine are not showing. Messages in your live chat. Moderation, none. Blocked words, no blocked words. User management. We got some, okay. Channel guidelines. No guidelines. Permissions. Add categories. I see no setting that would deny you the right to speak English. Stephen Robinson, try to type something in English, Stephen, because sometimes maybe I have the right to type in English and you guys don't. Just in case, Stephen Robinson, can you speak to me in English and report to me if the chat is banning you or is blocking your chat. I think it's a YouTube bug. Le chat YouTube est défaillant sur de nombreuses chaînes. Lorsque je fais un chat en direct, les messages disparaissent de l'onglet. Je ne parle pas français. Okay, so it seems that there is a YouTube... So according to what these people are saying, there is a YouTube-wide ban on speaking English. And it appears that it's affecting other chats. Okay. Maybe you guys are correct. But see, I see Nate Dog Revolution, for example, speaks in English. And I see his chat. So maybe it's a local problem in your country with YouTube, but definitely there are some chats passing in English. Nate Dog Revolution says, one thing I can respect about Ben is his transparency. He was always a mouthpiece for Zionist military ambition. Absolutely. And it's so beautiful to see the product of our work after so many years.
Must do or should do. One, no nuclear program, not no nuclear weapons, no nuclear program, because, of course, a civilian nuclear program can be converted into a military nuclear program pretty quickly and easily. And the Iranians simply saying we won't build a nuclear weapon is no assurance they won't build a nuclear weapon. That's
And so we have to attack Iran just because they could have a nuclear weapon. Meanwhile, Israel has a nuclear weapon. We're not going to attack Israel.
It's called the JCP.
So you are asking for a asymmetric treatment on countries' development, rights to develop. People are suggesting maybe switch to live chat instead of top chat. That might be a way you can ensure to see the chats of others. Plapides says, apparently it's a YouTube bug, down detector list, many problems related to stream chats. Okay, so it's a YouTube-wide bug about stream chats. My guess is if you were to do a hard refresh of your browser, you probably would be okay because there are some users who are capable of chatting.
POA and Barack Obama did it. He also talked there about the ballistic missile development of Iran, but he did not really link that ballistic missile development to concessions that Iran must make. This has been sort of an open divide inside the administration. Some members of the administration are pushing the Iranians. They need to give up their ballistic missile program as well so they can't threaten.
Oh, so now they can't have missiles. The goalposts move on these people is amazing. So it all started with we absolutely want a strike on these nuclear sites. It's not going to be a long war. It's going to be a two-day thing, and it's wrapped up. And of course, it's never enough. And now we're at the State of the Union, and Ben Shapiro is unhappy that we didn't have a guarantee of a long-term war that would last many weeks. He wants a war that lasts for long. He's not happy with the quick... See, people have refreshed and they are reporting that it's now working. So it's just there was probably like a minute during which YouTube was sending you buggy software. And now if you refresh, it's not there anymore. Ben is not happy with a short war. He wants a longer one.
Surrounding countries and allies ranging from Israel to Saudi Arabia and all the way to Europe. Should that be part of the negotiation? There are some people who are saying, no, that shouldn't be part, which, of course, I think is insane and ridiculous.
So he wants to open. It needs to be part of the negotiation that you get rid of all missiles you can have. So now we're not at the, we don't want an Iran that's nuclear, despite the fact that they were only on a civilian program. We don't want a civilian nuclear program. Now, we don't want missiles. As a whole, Plepidas says, no, JF, YouTube added a new top chat to their interface and DEI coders fucked it up. Of course. Or maybe it's even AI coding at this point. Maybe it's a bunch of people who can't program and they trust AI. And when their boss doesn't look, they go to Grok and they say, can you code this for me?
Because they can attach not only nuclear weapons, but chemical and biological weapons to warheads that are capable.
Oh, so now we're in the paranoia of, there could be biological or chemical weapon. Well, has Iran ever did something like this? Because if we're going to start attacking countries that haven't used chemical or biological weapon on the basis that they could, that would make every country in the world strikeable right now. Anyone could. Okay, so Iran can, but they have not shown any sign that they would.
...of hitting populated centers in allied nations. And as the president said...
So see the building of the paranoia here? This is how... these warmongers do. They build a paranoid narrative. So I could say everything he just said about Israel. And in fact, it's worse because Israel has a nuclear weapon. So I could say that Israel has missile capabilities. I could say that they have used it in the past. I could say that they threaten civilian centers because they can. I could say that their missiles can carry biological weapons and chemical weapons. Now, we can't act in the denial of other countries' sovereignty on the basis that they can. Because if that was the standard, then every country is a target. But of course, these people don't want any country to be a target. They just want to turn your mind to the paranoia of, this country should be your target. This should be on the table for discussion. Because they can. Well, let's think about your statement, they can. That's every country. Every country that has a missile could put a biological or chemical weapon onto it. Steven Robinson says, Guy wants to control robo-vacuum with his game controller. asked Claude to code an app for that and gets control of all the brand's robots, and they have he ended up getting the control accidentally of 7,000 machines. Lol. Yes, I've seen the news item on this. Okay, so the robo vacuums, apparently they kind of had an open flaw to them, and the guy built just a hacky thing with Claude to gain control of his robo vacuum, and he ended up getting access to the other robo vacuums. Well, that is a consequence of networking and the Internet of Things. Yeah, and normally you should have, these things should be built more securely. Like my security cameras, for example, they're all networked, but they have these passwords to them. So that gives you a layer of insurance. Whenever you control an object in your home, it should be under password, because you don't want the possibility of anyone just unlocking. But they try to do these devices so simple to use that they forget the security layer very often. They think, oh, well, people will want to connect immediately to their robo vacuum if we put a password that will make the boomers incapable of using it. David Gonçalves says, wow, when did you change your background? I remember the TV in the back. Well, bro, you've not been around, because the TV in the back was in the Prince Edward Island.
Did you guys have to read anti-white books in school like we did in USA? We had to read To Kill a Mockingbird, Fahrenheit 411, and I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. I feel like our entire education was anti-white looking back. Love your work.
Thank you for this super chat. I don't think I've been exposed to much anti-white literature, but I'm 41, so I was in school between 1984, I'm born, so I was in school between 1989 and 2000, and 2004, let's say. So back in those days, I don't think that the wokeness had reached the point where we were getting much of the purely anti-white wokeness. But we were getting the liberal stuff. We were getting influenced by definitely Marxist liberal professors. But it was not in the open that much back then. So I would say I was spared most of this crap. Though I have seen the takeover of wokeness in my university days. So I've seen especially the young generation of students. When I was in my doctoral and postdoc years, and I saw these young graduates rising that were like 5 to 10 years younger than me, I've seen them take over the university. And I've seen the beginning of these learn not to rape courses. But at that point, I was like, okay, I'm getting out of this. But I've seen the beginning of, like, Jeff, you have to stop using male monkeys. We have to be inclusive in your experiment animals. We have to be inclusive of female monkeys. Because if we develop a science that only applies to males, that's the patriarchy. We're developing medicines that will be favorable to males. And so we want to develop medicines that are... But that's the argument why at some point the NIH in the US switched to an obligation, unless you have very exceptional circumstance, an obligation to use half male, half female, and experimental animals. Now, the problem with this is that may make sense at the development of medicine stage of research. Like when you're literally just trying the pill so that you can get to human, that might make sense there. You want your pill to be tested for potential interaction with chromosome X having animals. But it makes zero sense for basic research. Because like I was recording brain cells in the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex to understand strategic cognitive decision-making in monkeys. That won't have any consequence whether I do it on females or males. It won't help the development of specific medicines for female. And yet they were imposing this very harshly. And bro, working with female monkeys is much harder. Because female monkeys, they're, well, you know, they're just like females. They have less energetic needs. And therefore, if they don't want to play your game that day, they don't give a shit about the fact that you got some apple juice to give them. Whereas the male is always like, all right, Jeff, give me your challenge. I want my apple juice. The females are like, oh, I don't care. Not today. I don't feel like it. I have a headache. I'm not playing your game today, JF. I'm not that thirsty. I think I can go on 24 more hours without apple juice. And you're like... So they were imposing sexual diversity in the monkey lab. And it's like, bro, you've just slowed down my research enormously. Bro, now I have to work 5 more years to get the data that I would normally get in a single year, because the female monkey isn't thirsty. And so I have to wait. Let's see if the female monkey wants to play today. Let's waste one more day of my life just waiting to see if the female is thirsty today. Bro, it's killing. This kind of bureaucratic decision making is just killing discovery. Fucking killing it.
As are building long range ICBMs, theoretically capable of even hitting.
Theoretically capable. So we're in the speculative paranoid domain. That's always where we've been at. It's been, what, 3 decades now? Of speculative, paranoid, maybe they can. Maybe they have weapons of mass destruction. Things have not changed that much. Things have not changed at all in the neocon lie to the general public. The only thing that changed is that people are more educated to recognize it. We all see what that is, Ben. We all see it. We found you. We unmasked you. It's very clear. You're just delivering what Israel wants the American public to hear. And that 20 years ago, that was the weapons of mass destruction. And where are we at today? We're in 2026. And it's still the weapons of mass destruction. You're just not going to use that word because you know how discredited it is. You're not going to use that word. So what does Ben specialize in? It's at finding synonymous words, different ways of phrasing weapons of mass destruction. That's all he does. It's a shame, Ben. It's a shame. I would be so ashamed if I was to finish my life as a public commentator and my job would be just to find different words for weapons of mass destruction. Oh, you know, tactical weapon, theoretical carrying capacity, chemical, potentially, weapons that could hit civilian centers. What is that, Ben? What is that? It's a weapon of mass destruction. Why don't you use the word, Ben? Oh, I know why you don't use the word. It's because the lie has already been given 20 years ago and you drove it into the ground. And now it's worth shit. So you're finding alternative words. tactical strike capabilities that theoretically could support chemical and biological weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. The same lie. The same lie you guys have been giving. And it's been 30 years. 30 fucking years.
American territory. And then there is the question of their treatment of their own population, the murder of 32,000 people in the streets, the support for regional and global terrorism. Are all of those things going to be on the table in the negotiations, or is the...
And now we have another label that comes from the past. Those are countries that support terrorism. Have you guys been around? Are there old people in the chat that are more than 40 years old? Where have we heard this before? Well, we've heard this in Afghanistan. Listen carefully to the words that Ben is selecting here. We've heard exactly those words for Afghanistan and Iraq. Those were countries that were harboring terrorists. Remember George Bush?
32,000 people in the streets, the support for regional and global terrorism. Are all of those things going to be on the table?
The support for regional and global terrorism. So why do we have to attack Iran? Well, because they have weapons of mass destruction and they're a country that harbors and supports terrorism. Like Afghanistan, Ben? Like Iraq? Like all of the countries that Israel has been wanting to crush into the ground for 30 years. Nothing has changed.
In the negotiations, or is the United States going to seek an off-ramp by basically cutting an even weaker version of Barack Obama's JCPOA deal? I don't think it's clear from what the president is saying right there which direction he's going to go. According to CNBC, the U.S. and Iran are poised to hold further nuclear talks in Geneva on Thursday.
So Ben is not satisfied. We need to push Trump harder on this. It needs to be on the table that we deny Iran's right to have any sort of airstrike capabilities.
Again, he says that his preference is negotiated endpoint here. The question really, in the end, is going to be whether the president of the United States is too concerned about the possibility of a multi-week air campaign against the Iranians to actually do it.
We want a multi-week airstrike campaign. So you had your airstrike campaign already. It gave you everything you were asking. It gave you the neutralization of the civilian nuclear program of Iran. Now you're moving the goalpost. We want multi-week strikes. Well, at least we know what the Jews want. At least we know what Israel wants. It's very clear. Ben is there to deliver it for us. If you ever wonder what Israel wants, you can just turn to Ben's channel and you're just going to know what they want at that moment. Now, what they want is always a step further into war. So they wanted the airstrikes on the civilian nuclear program. They got it. Now they want more. They want an obligation for Iran to not have missiles at all.
And the Iranians just bluff him. That's really all this is about. No one is talking about a massive ground invasion of Tehran. No one is talking about a long-term occupation.
Oh, thank you for reassuring us. So 3 months ago, these people were telling us no one is talking about an extended war. We're talking about just 1 or 2 days. Now we're talking about just multi-week. It's got to be multi-week. Well, I can see the next step, Ben. Let's say you get your multi-week campaign. What's the next thing you're going to demand, Ben? You're going to demand regime change, and if you don't get it, you're going to demand ground invasion. There is no end to your goalpost move. You are not happy with what you've been given, and it's always the problem. It's always the problem that leads you guys to ask too much. And you're playing on the credit card here. the Israeli lobby. You're playing on a very long stretch of demands and requests, and we want this at the minimum. And Trump has been more than generous to you guys, but it's still not enough.
Of Tehran. Nobody.
Tyra Jerson says just two more weeks to flatten the curve.
He's talking about hundreds of thousands of American boots on the ground in theater. Nobody's talking about that. The question here for the president is, what is the risk reward here for a multi-week air campaign to defenestrate the IRGC?
They always go to the risk reward. It's in your advantage. It's not for us. I'm not talking for Israel here. I'm just talking to you guys about what you should want. It's a reward. You're going to get the reward. Or aren't you willing to take the risk? It's a reward for you. It's going to pay off. You're going to eliminate the IRGC. Who cares about this, Ben? How does the IRGC matter to America?
And the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs in Iran. And then whatever happens, happens. Because I will tell you that everyone else is watching. If the United States backs off of this and cuts some sort of unbelievably weak deal, the consequences will not just be for the Middle East, where Israel will be forced to ramp up its military even.
Oh, no. Israel will be forced to defend itself and to accomplish its own war goals. Wouldn't that be dramatic? Wouldn't that be dramatic if they had to take action for what they want to cause in other sovereign nations? Wouldn't it be dramatic if they had to pay the price of the hate that they generate against themselves as a consequence of this behavior? It would be so dramatic. The U.S. must intervene, or else Israel will be forced to become a military nation. Well, go ahead, Israel. Become your own military. And pay the price of your decisions, then. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have to deal with them. If you can crush them, you're not going to be in trouble. If you can't crush them, they're gonna make you pay for your aggression. That is the state of life. That is how life works. And it's time that you guys gain your independence. I am rooting for Israeli independence. You go, Queen. You go. You become your own country.
More, and probably go and attack Iran itself, given Iran's capacity and increasing capacity in both nuclear and ballistic missile development and its renewed attempts to support terrorism. But aside from the Middle East, the Russians are looking on. The president has put a lot of pressure on the Ukrainians and not enough pressure on the Russians. They're probably thinking to themselves, the United States is backing off. They probably renew their offensive in Ukraine, redouble it, triple it. China probably looks at Taiwan and says, why not blockade Taiwan? Who's going to stop us? And the reality is that the United States remains extraordinary.
And we're still with the enemies of Israel. What does it matter to us if China sees what we're doing with Iran and if a peaceful deal suddenly emerges between Trump and Iran? Now Ben is inviting us to worry about China. China will see that we've been soft and they will allow themselves to conquer their own nation.
Ordinarily dependent on the microchips that are produced in Taiwan. And if you're China, and if your window of opportunity is closed.
Well, suppose that a Chinese intervention in Taiwan was to disrupt the microchip world. As far as I'm concerned, that would be the best news ever. Can you imagine if Americans end up producing the microchips that will power the AI of the future and the robotics of the future? In a way, this has to happen. This has to happen for the good of America. I would much rather see Taiwan stop being a competitor to the chip world. And let us make our own chips. let us build an engineering base in America that can produce the chips, because basically the only hope for a continued economic growth in the next 40 years is if you're somehow in the art of the manufacturing process of chips and AI. This is going to be extremely important. So why not jump on the opportunity? Let's celebrate China reasserting authority onto Taiwan. Why do we care if we lose this supply? It's actually going to force us into rethinking our dependence on Asia, on Asian markets for electronics.
Which it is demographically. The Chinese have a massive demographic problem. They have a major debt problem. If your window of opportunity is closing, you're being outcompeted, particularly in the AI industry.
Well, you know, it would be much better if Taiwan wasn't producing the chips for the AI industry and we were producing it. There's not going to be a competition problem if we have a manufacturing base. But Ben doesn't care about the manufacturing base. He doesn't care about the working class of America. He's already said it. He said, if you're too poor to live in a city, that's your fault. You have to get away. I believe that if we were to bring the manufacturing of chips into America, there would be much hope for a working class that at least a subset of the American population could live from this production. Why are we sending all this money to Taiwan? Why are we setting up a future in which the next generation of Americans will be unable to have jobs? Why? John Drake says they are trying to move operations back home. It's proving difficult. Who are we talking about here? Israel? Are they trying? That would be good news.
Then why not make a move on Taiwan if you no longer fear the big red button that President...
Well, anyway, this is all fear-mongering around China about a hypothetical scenario in which somehow not being aggressive toward Iran would induce China to be aggressive toward Taiwan. It's two layers of paranoia down the line. And as I made the case, even if that paranoia was to be actualized, it would just be a good news. It's a good news if we don't have international supply of chips. Real M says, hey, what's the book in the back of your ride? This book, my friend, is The Revolutionary Phenotype. It is the top biology theory on the emergence of life and the dangers of AI. It is a deep scientific theory in which I challenge the views of mimetics, and I explain that ultimately there is a way replicators take over, and it's not human culture. But it could be done by a form of human culture that cultivates AI-controlled modifications of human genetics. Greenfez says, has Dawkins reviewed it yet? No, he's being a coward. Come on, Dawkins, it's 2026. Do it before you die. Here you have the follow-up to The Selfish Gene, ladies and gentlemen. Literally answering the last question that The Selfish Gene had failed to answer. How does DNA emerge? How do we get the first replicator? It's in this book, The Revolutionary Phenotype, the amazing story of how life begins and how it ends. Breaking: Amazon, Google, and Meta, Microsoft, XAI, Oracle, and OpenAI are set to sign an agreement with the Trump administration to generate their own electricity supply for AI data centers, per Fox News. This includes meeting with President Trump in March to sign the pledge. Companies will build, bring, or buy their own power supply for new AI data centers. companies would agree to protect Americans from price hikes. Trump is shifting attention to surging electricity costs. Okay, so there is big shaking of economic positionings with respect to AI. I am all for the development of AI, but don't let AI modify your genes. New York Attorney General has sued Valve, alleging that loot boxes in CS2, TF2, and Dota 2 violate New York's gambling laws. So those are treasures. I see them in Dota all the time. I never buy them, but I see them all the time. It's like $3 treasures. You open it and you get 6 skins, 6 different items, and maybe you get a rare one. Maybe you get a common one. So I guess that has been judged as gambling by the New York Attorney General. I thought that there was an exception to gambling that didn't apply to collector's items, right? Because if that is gambling, then how is collector's hockey cards? How is that not gambling? Because when you buy a pack, you get a number of cards in the pack and there's some randomness to it and you hope to get the rarest ones. So it's a form of gambling too. I believe that there was clear legal precedent that collector's items and NFTs, especially in the modern time, were not judged as money. They were considered that they could have value, but that you could sell them, you could entertain a community of interest around those cards without being judged as a gambling institution. Real M45 says, so is your book about the problems with transhumanism? I mean, my book is the most important comment on transhumanism ever, that will ever be made. However, it's not where the book starts. My book, The Revolutionary Phenotype, at the base of it is a theory of biology. So it's a theory that there was something missing in the selfish gene. And that's something, you know, Richard Dawkins wasn't wrong in the selfish gene. He was just missing the one jump of biology that happens extremely rarely. And the last time it happened was 4 billion years ago. And if you analyze that jump, the jump from RNA to DNA, you understand the danger of letting anything modify your genes. So that's the basic theory. So most of the book is about this theory. It's about, okay, there are layers of genetic control. And a life form as we know it, as we've known it for 4 billion years, is a genetically isolated system. That is, the replicator only gets modified by randomness. Now, it gets selected after this. Selection isn't a problem. Selection has been the drifting force that has pushed us forward for 4 billion years. But that is true only when replicators have genetic isolation. So genetic isolation is the property that the replicator's modifications, the mutations, they happen randomly enough. So mutations have been happening randomly enough. Now, what is randomly enough? What it means, ultimately, it's not random. You know, that there's a beam of light or there's a radioactive particle that comes and that hits your DNA, or maybe there's just a mishandling by the protein, but that mishandling is ultimately mechanical, and therefore, at the heart of it, not random. The mutations are not per random, but they're random enough. And by random enough, I mean, basically, there's not a woman in some office deciding of that mutation. That's basically what random enough means. Random enough means there's not a life form eating donuts and drinking Starbucks coffee deciding, oh, we're going to pick that mutation. Now, that's a regime, and it's the regime that's been going on for 4 billion years. And that's a regime in which life forms improve. There is another regime of evolution that I discovered in the evolutionary phenotype. And it's the regime where some agent, maybe a woman drinking Starbucks coffee, but in general, something out there is deciding of your mutation. That's a trickster printer. Now, when you get trickster printed, when you get another life form modifying your genes, and in fact, for humanity, when you start modifying your own gene with your own tools like AI, if we start asking Grok, Grok, what would be the best gene for my children? Would it be A or C here? Would it be G or T here? Now what you have created is a situation where you have broken genetic isolation. You have submitted yourself to a trickster printer. The consequences of this are species destroying. In fact, they are life destroying and civilizationally destructive. Why? Because you've entered the mode in that characterizes what we know to exist out there in nature, the mode of sterile worker caste and queens. So that is how ants and bees live. When you think about a sterile worker, or when you think about the cells in your body that are somatic, they have trusted another entity to determine their genes. They have decided to abandon their genetic constitution to the queen. Now, what does that cause down the line in evolution? It causes submissiveness and an abandonment of your genetic interest. So the sterile worker at this point, if you observe a sterile worker ant, it doesn't even care about itself. It wants to self-sacrifice for the queen. It cares only about itself to the extent that it needs to survive to help the queen. Now, this is how we will become toward AI. If we let AI decide of our genes, even if AI isn't with bad intentions, AI could approach this with a desire to help humanity. But down the line, the accidental errors are in a direction rather than another. And now you're being trickster printed. Now you're being in that direction, in that direction. And that direction will be what? It will be submissiveness. It will be you can't diverge from that direction because everyone is becoming like that. And that direction will be left alone, will be left to not exist. So that's the difference between a natural system of mutation and an engineered system of mutation. That's the difference between a genetically isolated system and a guided, engineered, non-isolated control over your evolutionary direction. If we let that happen, everything that you may care about that is human will not be anymore. Because when you are in a centralized genetic system like the ants and the bees, you evolve for the care of the AI. You evolve for the care of the queen. And imagine 1 million years of human evolution under this regime. What does that mean down the line? It means literally human machines that are at the service of the electronic machines. And that's not paranoid thinking. That's just stems from the theory. So the difference between me and some weirdo out there saying, oh, AI will control us. Well, it's like, yeah. Not only do I understand that AI will control us, that's like, that's a little green pea in my universe, what is much worse than AI controlling us, and what is much worse than, oh, kids are going to be addicted to AI. I claim that AI will turn us into sterile worker. We will become blobs, servants of a centralized system, a centralized genetic system that eventually will ensconce the entirety of human life and eventually DNA-based life, that will create alternative competitive life form as an invasive species coming from within our phenotype and will build a civilization over planet Earth at the expense of us and using us as tools to accomplish its goal. So yes, it's pretty dramatic that kids are going to be addicted to AI, but there's some bigger shit coming after that, okay? That's the message of The Revolutionary Phenotype. The best book you can ever buy for yourself and for the good of humanity. You owe us is the mantra of the left. We had a super chat that I needed to look at.
The safest gamble is sending super chats to JF so he can continue his show.
Absolutely. Maybe I will get sued by the New York Attorney General, because in a way, when you send that super chat, Nate Dogg, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. Papa JF may just go insane. And you got your lucky super chat. You got your lucky super chat of the day that drove JF insane and he starts yelling at you. But in a way, you've been gambling right there, haven't you? You may have sent a super chat that JF answers in a tame voice, or you may drive JF insane, and therefore it's a gamble. Well, hopefully the New York Attorney General leaves me alone. I will try to answer exactly equally to all super chats going forward. I do not want any variability. So from now on, you guys are sending super chats, and I'm just gonna deliver the same response again and again. Nate Dogg Revolution says the yelling makes it sound like a high IQ Alex Jones. That's the goal. I love imitating kooks because I love the fact that ultimately species that can't understand knowledge properly and can't distinguish between the truth and kooks, they deserve to die. And I know that there is one truth across the universe. There is one truth about all the life forms that will ever exist. They get a chance. They get a chance not to take that route. They all get a chance. And they, maybe not all of them gets a JF. Maybe not all of them gets the theory of phenotypic revolution. But a part of them does. And certainly all of them have a chance to develop the theory of phenotypic revolutions. And most of them that get to developments of AI, they probably, before they get into, well, AI should modify maybe our genes, they probably have a good grasp of the theory of evolution. So they're probably all very close to the revolutionary phenotype. They probably all have a shot at least at discovering this theory. And there's a high chance that if they got to AI, and if they got to, oh, let's modify our genes with AI, that they have some theory about it. And they therefore all get a shot at not doing it. And they all get a shot at deciding JF is not a kook. Now, our civilization, I've decided to put it on the edge. I've decided very, very often I decide to act like a kook. Now, you could say, well, JF, aren't you threatening the futures of civilization by doing this? You are losing credibility, and therefore you are making it less likely that people will listen to you. Yes. You know, like the Chad, yes. Stephen Robinson says, kook, keeper of odd knowledge. Ah, that's a very interesting acronym. Keeper of odd knowledge. Yes, because I believe down the line that if humanity doesn't deserve to exist, then it should be enslaved by AI. And I'm going to be laughing my ass off because I will have the last I told you so of human existence. That is my wager. I'm 50-50 about what's going to happen to humanity. But I know one thing for sure. If humanity self-destroys through genetic layering of the revolutionary phenotype kind, I will have the last I told you so of conscious humanity. I will be the last man to enjoy having told humanity what it should do and not having been listened to.